Work Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papa News of PapaNews.com in Columbus, Nebraska, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Contraman Ali of ContramanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Kai Armand of ConjureInTheCity.com in Brooklyn, New York, bringing us today's topic on becoming a root doctor, healer, or spiritual worker. Afterwards, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of voodoo, conjure, or root work as divine and prescribed by the greatest spiritual voodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-host, Miss Kat and Contraman Ali. Miss Kat?
Hi, and what a show it is today. Well, we have a very, very appropriate topic. It is becoming a root doctor, healer, or spirit worker with Kai Armand. But with Kai Armand can mean so many things. And so I'm just going to announce here that our own announcer, Papa Newt, is going to soon become a root worker, healer, or spirit worker with Kai Armand, with Kat Ironwood, with Contraman Ali, and with all the rest of AIR.
Yay, wonderful.
Yeah. Papa Newt, thank you. You turned in your application. And now we have very few formalities to go through. We're going to be doing a little interview and learn a little bit more about you. I think we know you pretty well by now. And hopefully by Tuesday we will assign people to do the interviews with you. That will happen on Tuesday. And by next Tuesday, we think your page will be live at AIR. So all of those of you who have wondered about Papa Newt's other life when he's not being our announcer, Papa Newt is a very, very good root worker. He has his own conjure shop. He is a reader. And y'all are going to find out a lot more about him. Eventually, he's going to have to give up announcing sometimes and be a guest some of the time.
That's right.
Which is kind of cool. He can announce himself. I don't know if that's legal in all states.
I don't know.
However, so that is just a wonderful thing to tell the world. Congratulations, Papa Newt. You took the plunge. And we love you, and we really are looking forward to have you in AIR. So 2 weeks from today, my guess, 2 weeks from today, we'll probably see him in AIR, and you'll be able to book him through AIR. Now, you can already book him through his own site, but now he's going to be gobble gobble. He's going to be one of us. All right.
Happy New Year.
Okay. Now, I have a few things of my own to announce. I'm hard at work in the book mines. Me and Nagashiva and Gray Townsend are making little books as best we can, as fast as we can. And I've been working on bringing back to life a book that has sort of very recently only fallen by the wayside. It was first published in 1936. And it's called Legends of Incense, Urban Oil Magic. And I am making a restored and revised edition. And I would like to talk about that just for a little bit, let you all in on a secret here. This book was first published in 1936 in what I would call a private edition. It is not actually typesetting. It's kind of typewriter type that's been reduced and shrunk. And it is a book that is 10 chapters long and, oh, gosh, about 116 pages or something like that. 112 pages, something. It's a kind of an odd book. It then was picked up and printed in another edition and then a third edition. And because the printer, the new publisher, wanted to make it a 96-page book, it was an easier format to print and save paper, they cut one chapter off the book. So when I was young and I bought a copy of the book, it was only 9 chapters long. I didn't know there was a 10th chapter. Well, as a book discoverer and book collector, I finally found a first edition. When I found the first edition, found out that it was 10 chapters long, and then I found a second edition, it was 10 chapters long. I thought, you know, this is what digital printing, digital typesetting is made for. I can just make the type fit, right? You just compress it around, shift it around, and I can make it be a 96-page book. It was so close anyway. So what I have done is restored the book. I have brought back all 10 chapters. And I hope I get a yay for that, because this chapter missing has been a drag and a half.
Much improved.
Yeah, it's much improved. I've also worked on the illos. The illustrations over the years had gotten plugged in. They were very hard to read. Some of the illos were actually printed upside down. Year after year after year, this book was printed with the illos upside down. Made no sense. And I have put more illos in, actually, because of my typesetting is so boss. I could put in more illos than it originally had. And so what I did was I took a bunch of the illustrations that had been in the back pages in advertisements, which were, I have to explain, this book was put out by a company just like ours. It was called the Oracle Products Company. It doesn't exist anymore. And they advertised the things they sold, like parchment paper and mortars and pestles, in the back. And they also talked about them in the book. And so I have taken the pictures that were not part of the book. When the second edition came, all the ads were chopped to shorten it. Then the third edition chopped off a whole chapter, and of course those ads were gone. But the art is very pretty, and those pictures do relate to the book. In other words, they show things that are mentioned in the book. So I've added more art. So I've fit it all into 96 pages. I should get a big round of applause.
Hey.
And it will be back out. It's going to be Legends of Incense, Urban Oil Magic by Louis de Clermont, the mysterious Louis de Clermont, as opposed to the mysterious Henri Gamache. So I'm very happy to report that Gray and I have been working on the illos along with Nagashiva, and we are cleaning up some of the illos too, which were you get what's called an ink gain. When you print an illustration, it kind of absorbs into the paper. When you scan the paper, now the lines are a little bit too thick, minutely too thick. Well, the next time they print it, they pick up and they do it again, and it gets a little thicker, and that eventually results in what's called plugging in. Everything plugs in. The letter A, you can no longer see that little white space in the middle of the letter A. It's all plugged in. And that's called malformation. Eventually it's called malformation. And so, in any case, I'm cleaning it up too. Madam Samantha in the chat room said, that all sounds stressful. Oh, no, honey. Madam Samantha, that is the opposite of stressful. This is what I would like to do all day, every day. This is for me, like doing crossword puzzles is for some people. This is for me, like playing video games. This is for me, like, I don't know, gardening. I mean, I just love working with type. Done it all my life. Enjoy it greatly. So that's my news for the day. We're working very hard on getting this book. We'll be out for the Hoodoo Heritage Festival, of course, along with several other books. And Miss Michael said, it's cats. It's Miss Cats instead of knitting. Yes, right. Knitting never appealed to me. But, man, it has a similar idea. I guess, you know, you knit one, purl one. I'm just looking at letter after letter. So it's going to be a lovely little book, and it's so nice to put it back in print. Many of you people don't know that Hoodoo does have a history. And this book, Legends of Incense, Urban Oil Magic, was the first book ever printed for African-American clientele that was about Hoodoo. There were anthropological collections made before then, Zora Neale Hurston and Miss Bacon and so forth. They'd collected, and different folklorists collected material. But and even Harry Hyatt had published a book in 1935. But this book was not academic, and it was not published for folklorists. This was a book that was sold in candle shops. It's the very first Hoodoo book ever published. Now, it's an interesting book on many, many accounts. And the version that most people have bought, it was what I call the chopped up version, almost impossible to make sense out of it. But now you will be able to, because I'm unchopping it and putting it all back in order again the way it was supposed to be. So that's my news. Now, let's say hi to Conjure Man Ali. How are you doing?
I'm doing lovely. As a bibliophile, I get more and more excited as I hear about the book news coming out of your neck of the woods, and doubly so when it's a book that is being reprinted, you know, or a book that is being remastered, if you will, that has been out of print for a while. I think that's just fantastic, and I'm very excited to see what comes of it. All things on my end have been quite busy. I just got back from a short trip. It seemed like I was saying that every other week almost I got back from a short trip, but that's probably because I travel the most out of everybody. It's just something I do. And I am now in the process of finishing up emails and completing readings, all while trying to finish some writing that I'm doing. And this is very, as you were talking about typesetting, I was nodding to myself. And in the chat room, someone agreed. Taurus is, we all have like these kind of busy work that we do that we enjoy. The other people go, well, that seems so stressful or so boring, and we're like, no, it's pleasant. It's something. It's, you know, it's something that we do. Whether it's writing, Taurus is sometimes just like to write. Whether it's knitting or typesetting, it's always something of that sort that we could just go, I can do this for the rest of my life. I'm okay with that. Just nodding along with you, and going, yeah, that's great.
And here's a joke for Gray, although I don't see him in the chat room, but here's a joke for Gray and Nagashiva anyway. And I could do that for the rest of my life and have tamales every night, too. I get fixated on certain foods, and Gray and I have been getting together on the artwork for this every Saturday. And I said, last night, I said, Shiva goes, what do you want for dinner? And I said, tamales. And Gray pipes right up on Skype. He goes, you had tamales last time.
I literally had tamales last night. So.
Well, so did we.
Peruvian tamales.
Oh, I know.
Tamales,
Tauruses with their burritos, their tacos, and tamales. Tauruses like foods that are wrapped up in a starchy outer wrapper. If I was going to write a book on astrology, which I have actually done a little bit of that in the past, I would write a whole thing, The Foods of the Zodiac. Taurus is like raviolis, tacos, tamales, which reminds me, let's bring in Kai Armand, another Taurus.
Who also had tamales.
What, you had tamales?
I literally had tamales last night.
Oh,
holy
my
shit.
God.
Oh, excuse my language. I dare to ask Papa Newt. I know Papa Newt is muted, but he's a Taurus, too. What did you have for dinner last night, Papa Newt? He's not there. I caught him. Oh, he said I had a burrito in the chat room.
Yes.
Oh, man. Okay. All right. I think we've proved a point here about Tauruses and their wrapped-up foods. For real. The stars aligned. Oh, that's great. Oh, that is so great. Okay. Okay. Anyway, Kai, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Well, our topic, I'm just laughing myself silly. I'm sorry. That is so freaking funny. Three tamales and a burrito. I tell you what, Papa Newt, when you join air, we will synchronize with you, and you will have a tamale on the same night as all the other Tauruses in air, right? It'll be broadcast psychically. Tamale night.
I think that this, if ever there was a sign that you do your zodiac food book, it would be.
Oh Lord. Okay. All righty. Aren't we weird? I'm sorry, guys. This is the all Taurus all tamale show. Okay. All right. how to become a reader or root worker is Kai's topic. Well, first of all, you got to lay in a supply of tamales. All right. The question, how to become a reader root worker, is a serious question. I'm going to calm down here for just a moment. Here's the thing. A lot of people know hoodoo is not a religion. And spirit work, spirit working generally, is not a religious vocation. In other words, you do not need to be initiated, and or you do not need to be certified, or you do not need a any kind of a hierarchical appointment from a body of authority. So anyone can hang out their shingle and say, I'm a root worker. But the question is, how do you do that? And also, of course, there, that brings up the side issue. How do you know, how do you, if you have a moral and ethical center, know when you're ready, number one? And number two, how can the public know when you're ready? Because you may say you are, but you may not be. So let me put this over to Kai, and we're going to talk about a few things like how to be a healer, how to be a root worker, how to be a reader, how to be a spirit worker. And also there's a business aspect to this. This is a very Taurian topic. Tauruses are known for their interest in business. And it's also a spiritual question. Do you have to have a perfect life? Do you have to be, you know, virtually immortal and have, you know, the perfect marriage and the 2.5 children? Or can you be a healer if you yourself need some healing? Okay? So let me turn this over to you, Kai. Take it away.
Well, I think these are all excellent questions. And you know what? What prompted me to think about this question was really thinking about the idea of calling. And we don't really put a lot of energy toward the idea of calling in our culture today. And what prompted that my idea about calling was seeing a lot of people who are operating in the world of hoodoo and conjure who are doing really great and beautiful things, but not realizing that what they're drawn to do in hoodoo and conjure often is speaking to some part of themselves that they are also very good at, but might not be giving it due. So, for instance, you know, I'm a hoodoo root worker, but I'm also, I absolutely have a calling on my life to sing. And if I'm not singing, I'm not well. And there's an element of, if, you know, when you're sort of running your own practice and, you know, you're putting a lot of creative attention to that, sort of, you know, maybe ignoring that thing that you're also supposed to be doing, or always trying to fit it into a mold, when really calling is often about breaking some kind of a mold, breaking a mold to really be that person you came here to be. We are, you know, on one hand, obviously this is about being a hoodoo root worker or spirit worker in this episode, but it's also, to me, about what does it mean to be that in a good way. And that means not ignoring all of the things that you're supposed to be doing and realizing that if you're feeling called to be a healer or do healing work, guess what? We all are. Every single one of us has brought gifts into this lifetime that are supposed to be used toward the upliftment and healing of other people. And hoodoo root doctoring is a beautiful way of doing that. And what I think a lot of people need to realize is, but what are you bringing to hoodoo root doctoring that's unique to you as well?
You know, that's what you've said is really important here, because all of us do have gifts.
And, very much so.
One of the things that we talk about at AIR with the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers is when we interview people, what are your gifts and what do you not want to do? And the most important gift of all of them is not I'm gifted for healing or I'm gifted for cursing or I'm gifted for love work. The most important gift that a root worker has, as I see it, is I want to serve people and help them. Because without that gift, you just become a little, petty tyrant on a throne saying I'm the great Oz, you know? And we've known a few of those in our time. They don't have the gift for helping. So that's gift number one. Then I tend to look at things in terms of different conditions, and you just mentioned a few, and I just mentioned a few, and there are others, attracting money. But a gift for attracting money may be for yourself and not for others, or you may have a gift for attracting money for others but not for yourself. And that those are interesting things, too, and that's what I was talking about, the broken healer, the healer who themselves has something wrong. I've known one woman, I'm not going to name her name, but all of us here on this show know who she is. Really, she was adept, very adept at bringing love to people. She could put two people together and they'd be in love for life. And she was alone herself. And she sat in my sitting room upstairs in my house crying and saying, I don't know why, how I can do this for others and I can't do it for myself. And I mean, I ended up hugging her. I mean, she was very sad, and she had been alone for quite a while. And I said, well, now you've said it. Now you've said it. Now we'll all pray for you, and we'll work on it. And I don't know if it was our prayers or whether she turned a corner at that moment, but she's now got a partner. So even a healer has moments where they don't have what they can do for others. That's, you know, in other words, don't, it's not like that prosperity gospel. I've got a gold Cadillac, so I can get you a gold Cadillac. Maybe the healer doesn't want a gold Cadillac, but they do know how to get you one. So there's a difference between what they go through. And I know others that are spiritual workers. If they become ill, they don't want to tell anybody because they don't want people to think they can't do the work anymore. You know, in other words, if they have a condition that is debilitating, and they say, well, I doesn't go out and try to heal anybody because they would know that I was weak. But we all have those, we're all frail, you know?
We're all human at the end of the day. And you know what, that brings a fascinating point. There's a sort of a need, or perhaps a perception, that root workers need to be perfect, right? Or they have to have everything going their way. And I don't think that's accurate. I think root workers should have their life somewhat together. If everything is falling apart, I'm not sure if I would entrust that person with my case. But that doesn't necessarily mean they don't hurt, that they don't have heartbreak, that they don't get ill. Growing up, I've seen broken healers, and I've seen root workers who seemed completely masterful and in charge of their lives. I personally find that less, you know, the difference between that less important than the root worker's role in the community. See, I have a slightly different perspective on this. I fully agree, for example, that hoodoo is not about credentials or even about being initiated, but it is still community-based.
Yes.
Growing up, you became a root worker because you were taught by one. They anointed you to do the work, or you were recognized as having a gift by the community itself. And I saw this time and time again. That kid can lay hands and heal. It was then even a grown person. That person is going to grow up to be a healer because that kid can lay hands and heal someone. You were recognized by the community, or you were anointed by another root worker. And I don't personally, and this is just kind of the differences in time, I would say, I don't remember any root workers who simply decided that they were going to open up a business. Very few of them actually considered it in that way. And it's great that our community has grown and new people are drawn to this tradition and want to put up their shingle. I think that's a great thing. But I think there's something in the way about a root worker being recognized in a community that we really need to hold on to, right? That it isn't just anyone that says, you know what, that candle I did worked really well. I'm going to open up a shop. It's more than that. There's a communal aspect to this. It's about service. It's about being called to work for others, to serve others. And I always remember the story of Jesus washing the feet of his apostles. And I think that is the perfect metaphor for what the root worker does.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I do agree with you. I will say that I was one of those rash, brash ones, literally did a spell, worked for me, and I thought I could do this for others. Lucky I was right.
But I yes, jumped into, you're a very
but
skilled
I did,
worker.
But I was young. I was very young. But one thing I did do, and this has to do with community, was at first I only worked for my friends, and I did not charge money. And that is something else that is a training time. When you work for your friends, I was a teenager and I was working for my teenage friends, no charge, and I got a reputation. By the time I was 18, I was a professional. So that is another aspect to this, is finding your community. At first, my community consisted only of people my age. As I got into my 20s, my clients were in their 20s.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got to my mid-20s, suddenly my clients expanded to include people in their late 20s, 30s, and 40s. And I realized that I was still maintaining teenage clients as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I began to see that the longer you're in the community, the more your calling is expanded around you, if you're good.
Very true.
And of course, what I realized too was that some of the older workers were passing away. And they
mm-hmm.
still had clients who were younger
mm-hmm.
than them. And those clients were looking for root workers. So as
mm-hmm.
you move into
mm-hmm.
your 30s, 40s, and 50s, you'll find that you've broadened who you're working for. And that's when you should be at the peak of your productivity, the peak of your ability to relate to others. When you're at middle age, before you become frail yourself, but after you've had some training. So it's the arc of a life. And working as a healer has an arc to it.
Very true. Very true.
All right. Well, I've got another question for you, Kai, because I'd like to talk a little bit here about how do you know when you're ready to go out? Do you do what I did? Do you just start working for friends? Do you hang out a shingle? How would a person who wants to become a root worker, in your opinion, set themselves out?
I absolutely have to agree with so much of what Conjurman Ali said. I think that I can't get away from that word calling. I believe that if the calling is on your life to use your gifts in this way, you will have signs. You will have very strong signs, and those signs might be that you're doing a foot washing for a friend, and they say, I have to give you some money for this.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and chances are they're not going to be the first person or the last person to tell you that, and you can keep sort of shying away. But next thing you know, you're doing this 40 hours a week and trying to maintain a full-time job. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, life is a teacher. Life will quickly grab that job that you're doing out from under you and say, stop kidding yourself, kid. You know, you're meant for this, and something is trying to step into your life to
mm-hmm.
do this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is so true. That is absolutely true.
Very.
When people begin to spontaneously, quote, tip you, unquote,
mm-hmm.
that means you should have a charge. You should be charging.
Right.
That's brilliant, Kai, and that is absolutely how I've experienced it as well.
Yeah.
And another
mm-hmm.
thing I'd like to add to this is my old favorite, the business card.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel that you can invest the cost of making a box of business cards at a place like Vistaprint or Moo or any of those little commercial business card printing places,
mm-hmm.
that's a sign you're ready. If you look at that price that's charged for the business cards and you say,
mm-hmm.
I can't do that, you're not ready. You're not ready. It takes business cards, it's a threshold. Now you could make postcards as your threshold, but postcards, people can't put them in their wallet and hold them or put them in their pocket. You can make posters, but I'm just talking about the simple business card. The next
mm-hmm.
step I would say in these modern times would be, can you make a Facebook page for your professional services? If you
mm-hmm.
look at that and say, I don't dare, then you're not ready. These are
mm-hmm.
cheap and or free things that you can do. And if you can't do those, then don't. There's nothing
mm-hmm.
I find sadder than I go to some friend of mine who I know has the ability to read cards, for instance, and I see on their Facebook page, it says, I'm available for readings. Hit me up with a PM. They're not
mm-hmm.
really. They're not really there yet. They need to have a professional page, and on that page
mm-hmm.
they should announce who they are and what they do and how to find them. None of this hit me up with a PM. That's like a toe in the water. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then they'll pull away, too. Then they go, well, I said hit me up with a PM, but no one ever did, so I guess I'm not going to do this as a career. You got to actually jump across the threshold and be a reader.
Yeah, this goes to two. That's kind of two parts to becoming a professional root worker. The two beginning parts. It's first that when you are ready, the clients will be there. Right,
mm-hmm.
You'll get a very clear sense, and this is about being connected to spirit. If you're connected to spirit, if you're connected to that kind of spiritual rhythm, when you're ready, the clients will appear. Then the next step is not just that the clients appear, but then what do you do with those clients? Right,
mm-hmm.
you don't have a place to read. If you don't have a place to send them, if you're meeting up with them online, right? So like back in the day when it wasn't online, you had business cards, or you had a shop, or you had a place where people would come in and be able to get a reading with you. Now when our client base has expanded, you have a website, you have a link, you have a whatnot. So you have to have that next step. It can't just be I'm ready. All right, here we go. The root work is about setting down roots yourself, right? Becoming part of a community. Maybe it's an online community. Maybe it's a digital community. Maybe it's a physical community. I'm always struck by, for example, when I go to Lucky Mojo, how it is the hub of a community. It is a meeting place. People come. People hang out. People talk. People buy things. People ask questions. You know, so it's the roots. Right? And for digital people who are doing most of their work online, it's their website. So you have to have this kind of next step, this practical step. If you don't, then you get lost in the kind of in the idea of a root worker without ever becoming an actual root worker. You have to build that community. You have to set down your roots.
Right. And in Papa Newt said something, create a bridge for them to get to you.
Yeah.
That's important,
yeah.
Right? And Naga Shiva said something in the chat log as well. There's a secondary option for those who are not suited to root workers, healers, spirit workers, assisting them, effectively becoming an apprentice. And
this is
one of the things that I did when I was young. I found out a lot of the people had run a candle shop for many, many years, and a box of candles weighs 25 pounds. And I know that sounds like very little, but when you're 78 years old and have a heart condition, lifting a 25-pound box of candles, you can do it once, but you can't do it 30, 50, 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
And so you go into those shops, and those boxes of candles be on the floor. They wouldn't be on the shelf. And there's that moment when you say to that person, you know, let me just put these candles up for you. Is that all right? Can I help you? And I don't want anything for it, but just to stay there and watch. And once you put their candles up on a shelf for them, they'll talk to you. And so that's how you become an apprentice. You don't walk up to some stranger or person that you only know through an exchange of money previously and say, I'd like to be your apprentice. No, they don't know who is this person. No, but you say, can I help you in the shop? Can I help you? Can I sweep the floor? Can I do something for you? I just want to sit around and watch how you do this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Most people will say yes. If they say no, there's something wrong with them, because most elderly people would love to have someone sweep the floor or lift those boxes of candles. And then you can hold up one of those candles and you say, you know, I've been putting these candles on the shelf and I wonder, what are these used for? And you'll learn something. So that is another thing, is apprentice yourself to someone else. And you'd be surprised. You may end up taking over their shop when they pass away. This has happened more than once. It's happened more than 100 times. And it happens in all fields of endeavor, not just root work, but it happens in bookstores. It happens in coffee shops. The person who apprentices themselves becomes the second in command. And eventually they may end up becoming the owner. So that's another way to work.
That's very true. And that goes back to what I mentioned earlier, is about you learned from a root worker, right? And that, you know, for example, in my case, I inherited my practice. Right, something that I built overnight or anything like that. A lot of the core clients that I serve have been going to my teacher for years and years. And so it goes back to this notion of the community of learning. So there is something there. I also want to say that once you're ready to become a root worker, you really have to ask yourself a set of questions. Right, one, why am I doing this? Right, it's a very important question. Honesty with yourself is the first step. Why am I doing this? Am I doing this because it sounds like I'm going to make a lot of money and I might be rich? You're in it for the wrong reason. Am I doing this because I really feel like I have a gift and I can help people? different answer, right? And then you have to ask, what type of root worker do I want to be? You have to identify, you have to know yourself. You have to identify what your strengths are, what your strengths aren't, and then also network with other colleagues. I'm not very good at this work, but you know who is? This colleague of mine over here. Because it's about serving the needs of the people who come to you. So you have to know who you are, why you're in this work, and how you can help. Don't just go, oh, this person is a client. I'm going to do this work that I have no idea what I'm doing, but because they're giving me money, I'm going to take their money. That's not what you should be doing. You should be really, really honest about yourself, your practice, with yourself and your clients.
Right. Kai wrote something in the chat. Or ask yourself, am I doing this because I don't know what my calling is, and this seems fun and interesting, because that's not good enough. Good point, Kai. And there are many people who really kind of think of this as a role-playing game, or a live-action role-playing. Now, I just put something in the chat room too. Read The Fortune Teller's Guide to Success by Valentina Burton. And I hope someone puts the URL for that through in the chat room, so we'll have it in the log. The Fortune Teller's Guide to Success by Valentina Burton does not tell you how to read. I just had a little conversation with someone who wanted to be a reader just a couple of days ago. Person wanted to be a reader, and I said, well, you read that book. And they said, why? And they were insulted, as if I thought they didn't know how to read. And I said, oh, no, this isn't a book about how to read. This is a book about how to present yourself as a reader. And they said, but I already do that. I've done that for years. Read the book. This book, The Fortune Teller's Guide to Success, and I'm going to just rave about it just for 30 seconds here. This book is the only book that breaks down what it is to be a reader, a root worker, and a healer in different venues. And this is as important as what techniques you're going to use. Are you going to do it out of your home?
Yeah.
Are you going to have an office? Are you going to go to corporate events? Are you going to go to parties? Are you going to go to churches? Where are you going to work? This book talks about those things. Very important book. Well, this is a topic that, again, we could go on a bit more about this topic, but I hear the music coming up, and we're going to have to take it away. But thank you, Kai, for bringing this one up. It's a great topic. You're listening to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. With me, Catherine Ironwood, my co-host, Contra Benali, our special guest, Kai Armand, and our announcer, Papa Newt.
The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Contra Benali, and this week's special guest, Kai Armand. We'll be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will be selecting our callers by their area codes, and if your area code is announced, I'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Papa Newt, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to the host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller. We have our first caller who is calling in from area code 404 in Georgia. This is Red Gypsy. Red Gypsy, are you there?
I'm here.
Welcome to the show. I see this is your first time calling in, so welcome.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And I do see that you have not gone to Miss Cat or Contramentally on this situation and have not gone to any other readers and reworkers. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. And Red Gypsy writes, I'm relocating with my children and husband soon for a job opportunities and reconnecting in our marriage. I sense my path was being blocked, have a feeling of who it may be, but am not quite sure I would to see if there are any obstacles in my path. And if anyone is trying to hinder the process of us moving and reconnecting in our marriage, I have done some bath cleansing, and that turned one thing around immediately. Now it's just the relocating part. Turning back to you, Ms. Kent.
All right. Well, Red Gypsy, Nagashiva apologized in the chat room. He said he rewrote your thing and might have rewritten it a little bit crookedly. We try to get them short so we don't spend too much time on them. So I'm going to ask you a couple of questions before. I'm going to be your first reader, and I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. What is your sign of the zodiac?
I'm an Aquarius.
An Aquarius. Now, you've mentioned that you have a husband, and you said reconnecting in our marriage, and that's an unusual word. Are the two of you living together now, and you mean emotionally reconnecting?
Yes, emotionally reconnecting. We are living
together.
Okay,
good. In other words, you're not separating. Okay, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What sign is your husband?
He's an Aquarius, too.
Ah. Well, I'm going to first put in a little bit of astrological information, and you may have heard this from other astrologers. Aquarius is one of the least gooey-gushy signs there is.
Mm-hmm.
And Aquarian is an air sign, and it's fixed air. And fixed means it's unchanging. Just like we were talking about Tauruses that are a fixed sign Earth, and we always eat the same darn dinner night after night. Aquarius is... have a tendency mentally to plow the same field. They're very technically minded people, and they love doing things that allow them a lot of mental activity, but they do tend to be fixed, to repeat.
Mm-hmm.
And emotion is not their strongest suit. So it may take a little bit of breaking the mold for both of you to get yourselves to literally take a little honeymoon, go someplace, or do something to reconnect
mm-hmm.
spiritually. That is the truth. I mean, that's just the truth for Aquarians. Now I'm going to get to your actual question. You've done some bath cleansing and it turned around. That was good. Now it just to be the relocating. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw down three cards, and I'm going to use the Rider-Waite deck, and I'm going to see what comes up. Is there a blockage? If there is, did a person do it? Or was that taken care of? You know, kind of let's just see what we got here. One, two, and three. Oh, well, there is somebody who has tried to block you, for real. And this card is the Eight of Swords, and it shows a woman. That would be you. And she has a blindfold on, and she's tied and bound with ropes. And she has behind her and around her eight swords stabbed in the ground. And I think that my understanding of this is that you have been restrained in some way. Someone has you tied and bound. Someone is trying to make it so that you cannot relocate. She's outside of a castle, and she's standing with her barefoot in a ditch of muddy water, and she's not being hurt. In other words, they're not trying to damage you or kill you, but they are trying to keep you restrained, and they're trying to keep you outside of the place you want to be. So you are correct. This actually has happened and has been going on. The next card is a card that tells me that you are, this is kind of funny. This is the card that I sometimes look at and laugh. It's called the High Priestess, and this is the card we call it. You could almost be a reader yourself, because
I am,
this is
actually.
You are.
Yes.
All right. Well, this is the card of the card reader.
Okay.
See, the High Priestess. We call her the wise woman. We call her the card reader. Lady who taught me how to read cards. Well, she told me once the funniest thing. She said, if this card comes up and it's for a young woman, you tell them, listen to what your card reader says, honey. But if they're a grown woman, you tell them, you could almost be a card reader yourself. So I was. So we thank Mrs. Hare for that one. That is correct. So you are a card reader. All right. Well, there you go. So this tells me you know quite a lot about what's going on. You were restrained. It's the card of the past. In the present, this shows you as a wise woman mustering all of your wisdom and information. She is a multicultural woman. She has the Egyptian crown of Isis Hathor on her head, which shows roots to the ancient religious past of Africa. She has a Christian cross on her bosom. She has the Torah, or Old Testament, or Jewish book of law in her lap, and she has at her feet the crescent moon of Islam. So we call her a multicultural woman, a woman who is at ease with different religions, people who are of different background. She has behind her pomegranates, and those stand for children. And they also can be metaphorical children, but they can be actual children. Do you have real children?
I have five children.
Five children. Well, there you go.
Yes.
All righty. And so she has, she's fruitful. She has seeds in her pomegranates. And she sits between two pillars, Boaz and Yakin. They mean strength and establishment. These are pillars of faith and pillars of knowledge. And so you are in a good position to do it and know what you need to do. She is dressed in white and blue, which stands for bathing. Therefore, bathing is, in fact, very good for you. It's the right thing. And you already reassessed that. Now, the card of relocation, the third card. This is a card that's a little bit of a difficulty. There is some difficulty surrounding the relocation issue. The card is the Eight of Cups, and this shows a person who has gone from the springs, down the river, down to the beach, down to the ocean, and then turns their back and goes back. Are you trying to relocate to someplace you've been before?
Actually, no. I've never been there before, me or my husband.
Not all right.
Present life, no.
Well, all right. So this card says you've got to go back and seek your source. There, this is a card that shows you've been stopped in your progress. In other words, where you got to is not where you want to go, and you need to turn and go back. Now, that could be internally. That's why I asked, is it a place you've been before? But you said no. So it's a mental state. There is some difficulty here. And it also may involve something about emotion because there's a cup missing from this array of Eight of Cups. We had, by the way, the Eight of Swords to begin and the Eight of Cups to end. That's two eights and a two in the middle. So eight is a good number. Keep the number eight in your mind. But this shows that, that the relocation is going to require, again, some water, some bathing. It's going to require working with the moon, with the right time of the moon. And you may find that there's something lost here, that moving may not be what you need to do. In other words, this may be a warning and saying if you do move, you may end up coming back. Because this is called the card of return after a false trip. It also can be called the card of something taken or stolen, but I don't know that that would be applicable in this instance. But it's not a great outcome card. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to turn this over to Kai, and he's going to do his reading on it.
Well, I also threw a few cards here, and I see very similar energies to what Miss Kat brings up. The first card that I pulled was the Seven of Swords card, which shows a man who's leaving a sort of a circus area, and he's sort of the sort of getaway car. He's sort of getting away with the goods. When I pulled the Helper card on that, I pulled the Star card, which brings to me the idea of your light. There is an element of emotion here. There is someone who feels jealous, someone wanting to sort of steal your thunder and what makes you shine here. Yeah. And the next card I pull is the Emperor card. The Emperor card is a lot about the energy of stability and of being grounded where you are and of sort of being the queen of your own domain. And the last card I pull is the Ace of Wands. So I agree with Miss Kat. There is an element of emotion here that makes this less of a conversation of is someone simply getting in my way of what I want, but also is what I want what's best for me. Maybe there's some warning signs here as well. I have some root work advice. I'm not going to bring that up just yet, but okay. I also pull just in terms of your the way I do believe that the efforts you've taken so far have helped have sort of pushed some of this danger at bay, but not fully, as the Five of Swords card tells us that some of this lingering energy is still around. Someone is still getting the upper hand, but there's an opportunity for you here, and that's what the Ace of Wands card is pointing at. There's an opportunity for you here to actually see something a little bit more clearly, not just about the attacker, but about the situation overall.
Okay.
All right. Well, this is, in other words, you're getting, you know, readings, we're trying to be honest here. And when we do honest readings on the radio, these readings, both of ours, have opened up a big, a vast something. There's something here more than what we, that Seven of Swords that he got at the first, and I got the Eight of Swords, there's more going on here than we completely know about. Okay, I'm just going to say that. Kai, could you tell me again what were the cards you drew?
Sure, I pulled the three primary cards I pulled were the Seven of Swords, the Emperor, and the Ace of Wands.
Emperor. Oh, Emperor. And Ace of Wands. Okay. Sorry, not the Star. Okay. All righty. So, now, we're going to turn this over to Conjurman Ali. We're going to look at some work. Some of the things we've noticed, Ali, is that we do have water in these cards.
Mm-hmm.
We also have wands, which is candles. And let's see what you have to say here.
Yeah, I have a working that's right up, what these cards are indicating. I agree. There is some emotional. There's something here that there's more going on here. So depending on what your situation is, obviously you know better than we do. You can adjust this as needed or add as needed. What you want to start with is a bath that will kind of unblock things, uncross things, and also kind of bring a little bit of clarity. I would recommend making it out of rue, agrimony, and basil. Add in a couple drops of uncrossing oil and a couple drops of clarity oil. And you're going to use this to bathe yourself. And I want you to use this bath, use the same mixture over 7 nights. And what you're going to do is you're going to wash yourself downward, gather a bit of the used bath water, and you are going to dispose of it at a crossroads. Make sure you air dry after you do your bath. On the 7th night, you are going to then take a white and black double action candle. You are going to butt the candle, which means you're going to cut off the, flip it, carve a new tip. Okay? On the black, write down all things that are holding me back. On the white, my path is open and I'm able to relocate, or anything that signifies what your goal is. You are going to dress the black portion of the candle with uncrossing oil. You are going to dress the white portion of the candle with Van Van oil. Van Van is a good cleanser, but it also turns things around. It flips luck. So it's excellent in a situation like this. You're going to place this in a small, heat-proof bowl. Not an upside-down bowl, but an actual bowl. You're going to place it in there. You can melt the bottom of it a little bit so that it sticks. You're going to then take some blockbuster incense and you're going to mix in some salt here. Now, this takes a bit of a practice hand, so play around with it, right? Not too much salt here, not too little, but a little bit of salt here. You are then going to ring the candle, but I don't want you to ring it as putting a big circle around the candle. I want you to put the incense up. You can use a spoon to scoop it up, or you can use your fingers. I want you to put the incense right up against the candle, so it's encircling it in. But it's right there with very little space. It can touch the candle, or you can leave a few millimeters between the candle and the end. You are then going to light your candle and pray with all your heart, turn the situation around to break through the obstacles. You are then going to take, I would recommend using the long match, those barbecue matches, just because they last a little bit longer, and you're going to light the incense, and you're going to go around in a circle, so the incense isn't just going to magically light it. You're going to go around the incense to make sure that you've created a nice ring, a nice cherry around. You know what I mean by a cherry, so it burns on top. You're going to create a ring so that all the incense is burning. Now, two things will happen. If this heater is in the right combination, you'll see lots of sparks shoot up. This may turn off the candle, right? This turn out the flame. If it does, once the incense dies down, you cut the black portion of the candle and dispose of it at the crossroads. Your working is done. You then light the white candle and let the rest of it burn. If it does not let if it doesn't snuff out the flame, then you let the candle burn on its own. But there is two steps to this, right? So the saltpeter will shoot up some sparks. That will break through any barriers. It may snuff out the candle. If it does, that means that everything's broken through, you're done, cut the black portion, remove at the crossroads. If it does not, let the candle burn down to burn through those obstacles. And that's what my recommendation would be for you. See, I think I meant to.
Okay, Ali, your voice is breaking up. Your voice is breaking up very badly. We may need you to have you call back in, but I'm going to try to. So if the incense has snuffed the candle, which it may, cut the candle in half, cut the black part off, and take it to a crossroads. I believe is what he said, and light the white. But if it does not snuff it, just let it burn down. But what you're looking for is really to kill that black half of the candle, which would be, and of course that was a butted light. Okay, so that's a very interesting spell. And
now I have a question about the blockage of the person. Now, can you tell whether it's a woman or a man?
Well, honey, I don't see that because what I see is you tied and bound. And I don't have time to do another reading, but I will say this. There is a lack of clarity because your eyes are blindfolded. And what I would recommend is you actually go to someone and get it. You could get another divination. I would use a pendulum. And one of the ways to do that, and this is if you're a reader yourself, you can write down the names on a piece of paper, and you can use a pendulum over it. Is it so-and-so? Is it so-and-so? Another way is called boiling their names in salt. And this is something that I have done with great success and recommend to everybody. You take and write all the names on slips of paper, and you put in a little pot of salted water, very salted water, and you boil the name in salt until the water goes away and you only have a crust of salt. If they contact you or you receive a sign regarding that person, let's say their name was Joe, and while the water was boiling, somebody mentioned someone named Joe or the city they live in, you go, okay, I got a sign. If nothing happens, you go to the next name and the next and the next. If you get no signs, you start over again, and you can do it three times, but three times only. If after doing this, say three people times three, that would be nine times of boiling this. If you get no sign after three times, that means God doesn't want you to know. But that's how I was taught to do it, boiling this. And I've had them phone me, literally. You know, you're boiling their name in salt, and they call. And I've read other people's accounts of this. This is a spell that I learned from other people. And I have read what others have said, you know, and I've had one lady told me that she was doing this and the person knocked on her door. And I've had other people say they phoned and nowadays they text. So this is good. So Kai, what do you have to say as far as what to do?
I agree that there's an issue here of you being tied and bound and not seeing clearly. In fact, while Miss Kat was talking, I said, well, let me see if I can pull another card. And I literally pulled the Eight of Swords card. So there's really, you know, someone who's really wanting you to not see what's playing out here. But that's not that that's okay, but you're bigger than this. And that's what I want to say here. I would suggest that one of the things that came up in my divination was that your home, even though you're doing good work on yourself, and I love what Conjurman Ali suggested, your home could use a bit more work as well. I would suggest an inward floor wash, as in actually not focusing on the inside of your house, but actually if you live in a house, the you know, sort of sidewalk and walkway up to your home. If you live in an apartment, you might use the hallway. But I would do an inward floor wash of basil, angelica root, and lemongrass. You want to bring some protective element into your home as well, probably especially before you try to investigate where someone is definitely working for you to not see.
All right. Thank you so much, Kai. That's really a good one. That's a house scrub. All righty. You're listening to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour, and here is our announcer, Papa Newt.
And we'll keep this train going with the support of this programming by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. We have another new caller calling in from area code 832 in Texas. This is Saul. Saul, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
So welcome to the show. And I do see that you have not gone to Miss Cab or Contra Man Ali for any readings on this situation, but you have gone to other readers and rootworkers on this situation. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And let me take a look here. And so, all right, please advise me about my future family life and my daughter. So, turning it back to you, Miss Cab.
Okay. Let me ask just a couple of questions. First of all, welcome to the show. Now, you asking about your daughter, may I ask, how old is your daughter?
13.
You said you were asking about your daughter. How old is your daughter?
She's 13.
13, okay. And what sign is your daughter? What sign of the zodiac?
She's born on 28 May.
She's a Gemini. Okay. All righty. I'm going to turn this over. Now, we have two questions. We also have your future life. So let me ask you, what is your sign of the zodiac, ma'am?
Virgo.
Yeah, what is your birthday?
It's 22 September, 1972.
25th of September? Is that what you said?
22nd September. 22nd September.
22nd of September. Just on the cusp. So we just put you just a Libra, okay? Okay, so an air sign with an air sign daughter. Okay, so let's turn this over to Ali to do a reading.
Thanks, Kat. This is kind of an open-ended reading, so we'll see what the cards say. I pulled three cards, and the very first card that I have here is the Ten of Pentacles. So it's very ideal card, I would say, for the reading. It's definitely right on track. We see an older gentleman in repose. He is reclining or he is relaxing. He's got his two puppies, his two dogs with him. He's luxuriously garbed, and he's looking at his descendants. This is a small Italian village. And this tells me that you are concerned about your daughter. Specifically, there's a question of legacy involved here. It's not just what your daughter's future is, but what impact that adds to the entirety of the family, right? So it's more than just, my daughter going to have a good life? It's what's my daughter's life going to be like, and then what impact does that have on the legacy of the family, on the connection of the family? And there are some problems, and I have to be very frank here. The very first card that I have is the Moon card. The Moon card shows as a distant lunar figure that is looking down as two canines howl up at it. And there's a little crawdaddy crawling out of the water and walking between two pillars. It's interesting. Both of these cards show canines. In one, there's two dogs, and in this one, there's a dog and a wolf. This indicates to me that there is an emotional disconnect there, that you're coming up at a stage in your daughter's life, there's something going on in your daughter's life that you're not going to be able to relate to. Her experiences are going to be very different from your experiences, and this is going to create a gulf between the two of you, a very big gulf. You're going to you don't have the tools necessarily to deal with it. Some part of you is going to withdraw, and you're going to say, you know what, I don't have any way of addressing this issue. I don't have any way of addressing her experiences, her circumstances. And this may cause you to close up. I would encourage you to avoid doing that. Oh, keeping open lines of communication is very, very important here. The energy, the spirit that I'm sensing here is not, it's tilted. It's broken. It's going to be troublesome. And this is coming up very shortly. The final card that I have is the Five of Pentacles. So even either you're experiencing it now or will be shortly, within probably the end of the year, the Five of Swords is the final card. This shows us two individuals who are mourning, who are been disarmed, while there's a third individual watching over gleefully. The relationship between mother and daughter does have a lot of risk involved, a lot of hurt and pain and struggle. And you both have a way of hurting one another, both have a way of really getting under one another's skin. So be very careful with your words. Don't withdraw like the Moon card indicates. Don't allow yourself to become cold and remote because you are unable to deal with the type of experiences that your daughter is going to be going through. And don't allow yourself to fall into hurtful language. Don't allow yourself to give in to acts of aggression towards one another. So this is a very serious set of cards, and they tell me that the next few years between you and your daughter, there are going to be a great deal of tension on, and it's going to involve miscommunication, misunderstanding one another, emotionally being disconnected from one another. And the key is to really call upon ancestral work, call upon the line that's come before you, and try to focus on repairing the family as a whole. Not just seeing this as a daughter issue, but seeing this as a legacy for the entire family. So that's what I see with my cards. I'm going to turn this over to Kai, who's going to give our next reading.
You know, I don't want to sound redundant, but oh my gosh, some of the, I mean, divination is just incredible because of the, you just spelled out what I'm seeing here, and I decided I was going to start my reading with bibliomancy. And the scripture that I was brought to bring an understanding to what's going on in your family and what's up ahead is the scripture from Luke chapter 11, verse 18, which reads, "If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub." So we're seeing family concerns because the unit of the family is working against itself. But we're also being pointed to there being an issue of some spirit intrusions that are exacerbating what's playing out here. And there are going to be a few things that are going to need to be focused on here. This is not going to be a one-spell-fits-all kind of a concern, but the largest theme that needs to be addressed here is, in addition to removing these spirit intrusions, is the energy of calling in blessing and guidance. As shown in, because I decided to turn to tarot, as shown in the Hierophant card, there being a person who is working with you as a spiritual coach and guide, and leading you to the helpful spiritual forces in your life who can, as you are casting out that which does not serve in your family and in your family line and in your relationship with your daughter, that you are calling in those energies that do serve and that do bless and unite.
Wow. What a reading. All right. Well, you know, ma'am, you asked about your future family life and your daughter. And what we're looking at here is a time of difficulty. Now, this doesn't mean it's difficulty for the rest of both your lives. I want to make it real clear here that when we do these readings, they, depending on what method we use and how deeply we probe, we may be looking at anywhere from a month to 6 months to a year, maybe more. And Ali mentioned a couple of years here. So we're entering into a new situation. Your daughter's 13. She has just, you know, achieving her young womanhood, but not yet her mental womanhood, you know. And so there is an issue here of defiance, possibly of struggle. And Kai mentioned a verbal struggle, I think. No, that was Ali who mentioned that. And that a spiritual coach or guide may be needed. So my feeling here is that this can turn to the good and it can be used for good, but you're now embarking on an issue of caution and an issue of love and help and support at a time when you may not be fully appreciated for this. So let me talk about how I would do this as a mother who's lived through this myself. I would start now by preparing an amulet, talisman, or charm that indicates the binding of the child into the family, no matter what happens later. Now, do you have more children than just this one, or is this the only one?
She's the only one.
The only child. And is there a partner in your life?
No.
You're just the two of you. Good. All right. Now,
no,
I'd like you...
No, she's in India. I will explain you. I will contact. I contacted you in the past also. I have two divorces.
Uh-huh.
And now me and my daughter is left, but my first ex is just trying, like, he's not keeping her, and he doesn't want me to keep her. So she's in India. So
right,
I'm not
right.
sure and I should, if I move back to India, he will bring her in U.S. So I'm just continuously chasing her, and she's growing up. She's a teenager. I feel there's something
yeah.
going weird on her side. I don't know how
yes.
to protect
well,
her.
Well, as you can see, yes, I understand, ma'am. So as you've now said that all of our readings were right, because we were seeing very negative readings. And, you know, usually when someone says, I've got a 13-year-old daughter, you go, oh, it's fine. You know, just, you know, congratulations. You get this was these were difficult readings. And so we knew right away something was wrong here. And this is, I would like you to do some sort of work to bind her to you. And whatever you use, two photos can work. You can take the two photos, a photo of you and a photo of her, put them face to face. You can get little photos, just print them out little, and safety pin them together. Safety pins are used rather than pins because they cannot be opened again. You know what I mean? They're closed. And safety pins in the four corners. And I want you to make some sort of a something. If you have her hair or anything like that, put some of your hair and her hair together in this packet. And I want you to make a small packet. Use those little small gold safety pins and make a packet. Mm-hmm. You can also put other things in it, herbs such as motherwort, angelica root, and so forth. But what I'm seeing here is that what we're looking at may be something much bigger than just a small root work that we can give you, because what we saw and what the readings indicated was quite a bit of difficulty. Wouldn't you agree with me on that, Kai and Ollie?
Absolutely, I would.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what we also saw was that ancestral work was necessary. That was mentioned too. I would try, if you can try to get some spirit to help you, the spirit of an ancestor of yours, and this was the very first card. It showed a legacy of generations, and this child is being kept away from you, and that is part of the problem here. That first card shows an older person, a mature person, and then a child. And so we really are seeing some issues here that may be too deep for us to just quickly solve with a quick little root work. But I would like you at least to put together some sort of a packet that shows the two of you together. Put that packet together, maybe in an envelope. Burn candles when you can on it. Put the candle stand on top of the little packet, or put it behind a photo frame of the two of you together. But the readings themselves were so, I guess I could say, not as hopeful as one would like, that they showed difficulty that would be going around for a while. You may need a root worker. That's what that Hierophant card said.
Mm-hmm.
You need someone to help you, because this is too much for just a little piece of work that you can do yourself. I would recommend a root worker who is used to working either with people who are abroad, or get a root worker who is a mother who will fight for custody of a child.
Mm-hmm.
And there's I could recommend many, many herbs, and Madam Samantha is calling out herbs, and I'm like, I'm not going to do that, Madam Samantha, because I think this situation is a little bit beyond what the client can do right now. And
yeah.
I think the cards showed us that. So we're
mm-hmm.
going to say, find someone to work. Make a talisman or amulet for the child and one for yourself. If you can send the child a gift, and you have, say, a ring, and you have the identical ring, and
mm-hmm.
and carry that ring, both rings, on your body till your sweat gets on them, and then send your child the ring so that they can have it. But we don't even know if the father will let the child
mm-hmm.
wear the ring. You see, we're kind of shooting in the dark here. You've got some powerful conflict going on around you, but. And then if you wear the ring that the child has, that's good. I mean, if you can do that, then you tell the child, every time you need to think about me, touch your ring and think of me, and we'll be in touch. There are many things you can do, but there are you're going to need a guide to get past the situation. I would go to the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers. I can tell you some of the people who do this kind of work. I know that Marin Graves does work for child custody. It's one of her specialties. I know that Miss Michael, who's in the chat room, does work for justice. I know that Mother Hen does, Mama Hen is her name. Mama Hen does work for child justice. And Aura LaForest does work for child justice. All of those are people who might be very helpful to you. And I'm really sorry, because what I'm seeing here is that this is, like I said, usually, hey, we can solve this problem on the radio. But this is a bigger problem, I'm afraid. And the ex-husband is at issue here. And that card of the Emperor also, that's kind of a problem too, because he may be using some kind of, I guess the word I would say, some kind, he has some kind of power here too. And you want to get an ancestor of yours to help you. And if it is a female ancestor, a strong female, that might be very good. Because ancestors want to keep the family together, always. And one way that I've done work, if I had myself and my child in a piece of paper, two photos folded together, safety pinned together, whatever, I might take another photo of my ancestress and fold that around them both and say to her, keep us all together, keep us together, let us be together, because as you raised your child and so on, it has to be an ancestress who is powerful and who is able to successfully raise their own children.
Can I add something when you're done?
Yes, please. Yeah. Go ahead.
When you mentioned ancestor, I would just say that I think a male ancestor in particular, because you have the Emperor card, right?
Yes.
Who's a harsh male figure who has some type of legal authority there. But I have the Ten of Pentacles, which is a benign male ancestor watching over his descendants. So you need to kind of counter that influence of that Emperor with the Ten of Pentacles type ancestor. Older, wiser man from your side of the family that wants to see the family restored. The other thing is, you mentioned, oh, she's doing teenage things and I don't quite understand. This is a very key aspect of what I was mentioning in my reading. That is the ten. That is the Moon card that I saw. The physical gulf between the two of you, by her being in a completely different country, should not be compounded by an emotional gulf of you going, I just don't get it. Because what's going to happen is it leads to the trouble that Ms. Cat keeps talking about. It's that Five of Swords, right, where you just give up. You're disarmed because you have this troublesome ex, because you don't understand her, and you both end up giving up, and it becomes a tense and terrible situation. So the key here is try to connect as emotionally as possible, working through that ancestor to keep the relationship together. And I would absolutely second Ms. Kat's recommendation of getting a professional and getting a talisman.
Yeah,
I would like to
You want something that the child can wear, that you can wear the same thing of, whether it's a necklace or a ring, something that will connect the two of you. Because even if this is a difficult time, eventually she will grow up and be able to find you. But you want someone in the chat room mentioned it as a beacon. Miss Michael also mentioned writing a prayer to God and slipping the package behind a holy picture in a frame and making appropriate offerings and prayers. And again, this is another way to work, and I would recommend that also. This is a serious situation, and my heart breaks for you because it's very difficult. And I hope we were able to help a little bit. All right, this is we're coming up on our break, and we're going to go to our network announcement, and then after that, we're going to come right back with Papa Newt.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30. Candela's Corner, starring Candela Cambisa, Mondays 5 to 7. The Crystal Silence League Hour, hosted by John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6. In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7. on Sacred Ground with Kai Armand, Wednesdays 5 to 7. The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30. And Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7. All time specific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
And now it's time for a freestyle segment with Kai Armand of ConjureInTheCity.com in Brooklyn, New York. Take it away, Kai Armand.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show. You know, today we discussed the idea of, well, what does it mean to step into the calling of being a root worker, healer, or spirit worker? And I'm sort of the person who is using the term calling so much because I do feel that the energy of calling really is involved here. And I remember there being a particular moment in my own life where I was already a root worker, but was really receiving the message that even more was being asked of me to step into and be than I realized. And it was around that time that I was doing bibliomancy with one of the spirits that I worked with, and I was brought to a scripture that I had never seen before. And that scripture, to me, just spoke so much to my heart about my work, but also to the work of what does it mean to have a calling at all? Because again, no matter what we've come here to do, we have been called to bring healing to each other and the world through our gifts. And that scripture is Isaiah 61, the whole chapter. I'm just going to read the first verse of it, although the entire chapter is one of the most beautiful things I've ever read. But that first verse reads, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." So this free spell today is to make a T. To make a T, and the base of that T is going to be three herbs, which are bay leaf. Bay leaf, for which brings success in all that we do and ensures our victory. Angelica root, which brings that energy of groundedness and blessing, being grounded in our blessing. Being alive is a blessing. And angelica root has beautiful medicine that speaks to that. And rosemary, which brings strength of clarity and strength of mind. Now, bay leaf, angelica root, and rosemary, that is the base of this. You can absolutely simply keep it as that and make a tea of it. Or you might choose to add a few more herbs or roots, preferably ones that are that you can ingest, that speak to the work that you are feeling called to do in this world. If you are seeking to do spiritual work or you are doing spiritual work, you might see a desire to add the star anise, lemongrass, sage, and black cohosh root. That's sort of my preferred one. What you're going to do is you're going to make a tea of your preferred herbs, and you're going to speak Isaiah 61 over that tea. And you're going to dip your finger in the tea, and you're going to anoint your brow in the form of a cross, and you're going to anoint each of your hands in the form of a cross, blessing your brow, blessing your hands. You might even decide to bless your feet. And then you're going to meditatively and prayerfully sip that tea while thanking those helping spirits that are aiding you in fulfilling whatever that calling is that you've come to live in this life. And I want this to be a simple ritual because I do believe that simplicity enables us to carry something out regularly, something that the great and wonderful Dr. E taught me many years ago was that it's far more powerful to do something simple regularly every day or every week than it is to do one big, huge, powerful thing once. And this is the kind of ritual that you can truly tend to every day. It's just a simple, you make up a nice batch of these herbs, you make a simple tea every day with this prayer over it, and there you have some beautiful medicine that's guiding you into really standing in your calling and calling those resources in to help you live that with joy in the world, whatever calling that is. Again, the scripture is completely applicable to any of us, no matter what any of us have come to do, root worker, doctor, nurse, singer, because we have all been called to have the Spirit of the Lord God upon us. We all do have that. We've all been called to bind up the brokenhearted and proclaim liberty to the captives.
Wow, That's beautiful. I'm only going to add one thing, which is black cohosh should not be ingested by women who are pregnant. The end. Other than that, all is well. But that herb does carry a warning. It is a well-known abortifacient, so we just don't want to go there with that one. But most people are not pregnant most of the time. It's actually a very good herb. It's a very powerful herb. But it's just one of those that, you know, it's interesting. I'm just going to put a little side note on that. Black cohosh is to cast off conditions, you see, and pregnancy is a condition. Yeah,
a beautiful one, but a condition. Depends on your circumstances. That's true.
Depends on your circumstances, and a lot of ladies know the secret of black cohosh for other reasons too. So just saying.
Yeah.
But
of course,
But this is a beautiful tea, and is very good. I would add one other thing to this tea as well. If there is a special scent that you find inspiring, add it to the tea, too. The tea need not only be, you know, the something that somebody told you must be. But I have found people say, well, but I really like my tea to have such and such in it. Go ahead, add that. Because whatever encourages you to drink this regularly will be more to your benefit than if it's something you have to hold your nose and chug down. Okay? And for me, this combination, just saying, for me, I would probably put it in a little bit of black tea, because that's me. I happen to love star anise, and I love lemongrass. Sage, I like a little. And I would put that in a little black tea, because that would perk me up. But then part of what I do is be very verbal, and black tea increases your verbal ability. So a spoonful of honey, but then I wouldn't want to anoint that. I would stir that in after I anoint my head, because I don't want a sticky head. but yeah, honey would do it too. But I everybody who makes these kinds of teas needs to think about what it is that makes them take them regularly, because that's
right.
So important for it. That's a – now Miss Michael is going, is patchouli drinkable? Yes, it is, but don't take too much. This is a lovely way to work. What Kai has suggested here is thanking the spirits for the spiritual help they've given you. Anoint your brow, anoint your hands, anoint your feet, those types of things, and then say, may I do my work with honor and grace. And, you know, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. What do you think, Ollie? How would you handle this situation?
Excuse me. I love it. I think I'm a big fan of old school hand washes and anointing.
Yeah. I like this one too. Those same herbs, by the way, Kai. Those same herbs could also be burned on incense too, on charcoal. They're great. They're really, it's a great combination for opening roads, increasing your link to spirit, and doing what you do to help others. And I love that piece of biblical scripture. All right. Well, we're going to go over to Papa Newt, and he's going to give us some announcements, and then we'll come back and say goodbye.
Well, thank you, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali, and thank you, Kai Armando, ConjureInTheCity.com in Brooklyn, New York, for being our guest this week. We do invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be Aura LaForce of AuraLaForce.com in Quebec, Canada. And once again, we've come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Papa News, joining you from papanews.com in Columbus, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here today. And do join us next week once again at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Pulse. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, Papa Newt and Papa Newt. is going to be a member of AIR in very short order. You heard it here first. I divined it in my crystal ball.
All right.
Remember, the Hoodoo Heritage Festival is coming up May 14th and 15th. And we're also going to have a big apprenticeship week for graduates of the Hoodoo Rootwork Correspondence course. And if you have not signed up for the apprenticeship, it is free, free, free. Be sure that you contact Heidi at the Lucky Mojo Curio Company. Tickets are on sale for the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. We will have a lot of goodies and giveaways, lots of great things that we offer. And we will be back again next week, just as we always are. And that's it. Good night.
Good night, all.
Good night,
everyone.